May the peace of Christ dwell in your heart. May the word of God hold fast in the good soil of your heart. And may you bear with patience to the end. Please be seated. Today's gospel reading is not only one of my personal favorites that I think about all the time, but it's also one of Jesus's and the apostles' favorite teachings to constantly refer back to. It's actually kind of crazy. Like, if you go into a Bible that has cross references, they have to at a certain point just cut it off because there's too many cross references in the Bible for this parable. Why? Because it's so simple. It's so simple, and it speaks for itself. And even though it speaks for itself, Jesus also explains it. Today's readings and sermons, or sermon, it could also be very bracing, like getting an intense massage. But it will build you up. It will edify you and strengthen you. For we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. Today's parable directly answers the question, why doesn't God's word take root, grow to maturity, and bear fruit in all who hear it? Today's parable directly answers the question, why doesn't God's word take root, grow to maturity, and bear fruit in all who hear it? Said in another way, why isn't my family member or my friend a Christian anymore? In another way, why does the world seem to be worse and worse? In another way, and I just came from a pastoral retreat type thing where I encountered a lot of this, and I see it in myself too. I see my Bible on the coffee table or the entry table, and for some reason I just can't pick it up and read it. Here's Jesus' answer. The kingdom of heaven must break into the garden of your heart to save you. Seeds must be sown into the garden of your heart. The seed is the word of God. The seed is not attending a worship service. The seed is not going to church every once in a while. The seed is not making sure that your kids get confirmed whether they want it or not. The seed is not tricking your friend into taking communion when they're not ready to. The seed is the word of God. And the seed of the word of God is sown into the soil of the garden of your heart. And that's such a beautiful concept that I have like 3 children's books about this topic. But here's the thing. Sometimes the word lands on compacted soil or rocks, and it never takes root. Or someone mean sees the word of God, sees the seed, and just steps on it. Sometimes the devil comes and takes the word away like a bird of prey. Sometimes the word tries to grow, but it's not in a place that allows it to grow because it's made fun of or looked at as weird. Or it's never watered with daily study of the word, or neglected prayer or meditation. Sometimes the word takes root, but too quickly. And then it falls over because there was no endurance or patience or watering or fertilizing. Sometimes the word lands just fine. But because it landed just fine and it started to grow, the weeds were never pulled. It'll do good on its own. I don't need to do anything. The weeds can stay. And those weeds choke out God's word. And sometimes, Jesus says, the word falls on good soil in your heart. The rocks have been taken away. The weeds have been pulled. It's been tilled. It's been fertilized and watered. Sometimes the word falls there and it takes root. It receives rain. It grows big and strong and it yields fruit 100-fold. Hallelujah. Solomon says in his Proverbs, I'm going to share two of them, two that are very important to me. He says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard the garden in your heart, for from it flows the springs of life. Solomon also says that a person who is not guarding the garden of their heart is like living in a city in a dangerous place without walls. He says that not guarding your heart would be like living in a border town and your government hasn't built a border wall. That would be crazy to live there. Jesus says, yes, you're a passive receiver of the word. But Jesus says, there's lots of tough, dirty work to do in your garden to protect and cultivate it. Remember, you are man or woman. You were made by God to protect the garden, cultivate the garden, work it, both in creation, but also of God's word. Jesus, he says that if the devil, the serpent, tries to trick you or tries to remove the word of God from your garden, slap his hand away. Put up scarecrows in your garden to keep the birds of prey, to keep the devil out. And that's very concrete. You can set a timer on your phone, and when the timer goes off, you know it's time to pray or read the Bible, or an alarm. A post-it note on your coffee machine that says, have you prayed yet? Have you read the Bible yet? A rock on your cushion of your bed. Taking the Bible off the shelf, taking the Bible out of the box in your garage or basement, depending on if you live in Elk Grove Village or not, right? All right? And putting the Bible in the place that you go every morning to drink your coffee or your tea or just to look at the sunrise. If you don't have a Bible, let's buy one. If you're scared about the shipping, I'll get it through my Amazon Prime account. No shipping. And when you open it up, turn off the notifications on your phone, turn off the TV, and just open up to, I don't know, Mark chapter 1 and start to read. If it's interesting, keep going. If it's not, close it. Ask for the Lord to keep speaking to you through his word and return to it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Jesus says, when you feel a good spiritual feeling from a sermon that you like, or I don't know, an Instagram reel or a YouTube video, or you're reading a Bible, you know, part of the Bible, and you see a verse that really stands out to you, he says, protect that seed. Protect it from growing too fast or growing without roots and then dying. How? By continuing to read the Bible. If you like one verse, read the whole paragraph that surrounds it, the whole chapter surrounding it. Think about it. Ask pastor for a book recommendation on a topic that you thought was interesting, like, I don't know, prayer. Pray to God right there and then for 5 minutes about what you've read. Set a timer. And that this is really, like when I say set a timer, it really is freeing. Because if you set a timer for 5 minutes, you don't have to do anything else for 5 minutes. The world stops and you can just pray. And you don't have to worry about wasting time, right? Because the timer at the end of 5 minutes will go off. It's lovely. Pray to God about that verse. Let him iron it into you. Listen to what else you're thinking about as you meditate on that verse. Let the stress of the world go away for 5 minutes. Get a study Bible with footnotes. Many have in our congregation, and they found it very fruitful in their study and understanding of God's word and interest in it. This is where many, many, many get lost in Christianity. This is the step where many get lost. Because Jesus says, when a time of testing comes, when endurance is called for, so that might even mean I don't feel good right now, but I'm not going to give up on my Christian faith. So that's like a sickness in family, a sudden death, a tragedy, or a fight with your spouse or your kid or your grandkid. When that time comes, if you don't have deep roots, Jesus says that the whole thing's going to fall over. But if you have that deeper understanding, that deeper time spent with the scriptures, you won't be going back to the drawing board when testing comes. And let's just say, if one can learn to appreciate and spend time with God's word, then even in those times of suffering, God's word will remain comfort to you. Because if it all goes out the window, if the devil takes away the seed, if the plant falls over because it doesn't have roots, and bad times come and you've gotten rid of the word of God out of your heart, that means if someone shares scripture with you that loves you, you have a chance that you won't receive that either, even the comfort. And that's a scary place to be. Remember when Pharaoh says to Moses, when Moses says, "Let my people go," and then it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. What he says is, "Who is the Lord, and why should I listen to his words?" We don't want to be like him. Jesus says that if the word does start to grow, that if you do hear the word and there is a plant, he says that if it's growing among weeds, it will never grow fruit. And that's hard to hear. Because you have the plant and everything, but you're not going to get any fruit. And then what's the purpose to the one who planted? If you don't pull the weeds, your heart will never produce patience, self-control, endurance, kindness, love. The garden of your heart simply cannot produce those things if you cannot let Jesus rip the weeds out of the garden of your heart. And Jesus gives us very specific examples of what those weeds are. He says, the cares of this life. Right? So think of how many times you've said to yourself, I don't have time for that. I have a sports game to get to. Or I have a commitment with work or school. I have repairs to do. Jesus says, a weed is the riches of life. For why would I need to care about the hard work of the garden of my heart if I have the short-term security of money? Jesus says, a weed is the pleasure of life. Why read the Bible? Why sing a song or a hymn with my family or by myself? Why would I do that? Why would I pray? Why would I think about the weeds that need to be pulled if scrolling on my phone or watching TV is so much fun. Or even if it has stopped being fun, man, does it enthrall my senses. I can't turn it off. But take heart, Jesus says, the word may fall on good soil. And that's those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, which means that they keep thinking about it and talking about it and reading about it and asking about it and studying it, and they bear fruit with patience. They read the Bible today and then read it tomorrow. Even if today's reading didn't seem to do much for them, because it turns out God needs you to use it in a conversation in 2 weeks, in 2 years. Guard the garden of your heart. Tend the garden of your heart. Allow Jesus to come into your garden. Allow Jesus to talk to you daily in there, sowing the seed of his word. Take them to heart, chew on them, inwardly digest them in your heart. Look into them, watch them grow. Keep your eyes on the weeds, pull them as needed. You're going to get dirty. You're going to be tired, especially at first. But soon you'll love getting dirty. And you'll say, yeah, my hands are dirty. Yeah, my knees are dirty. I'm a gardener. It's what I love to do. Look at my beautiful flowers. Do you want some pie made out of the cherries that grew in my garden? And the person you say that to might say, well, that's cool. I don't do anything with my hands. I need something like that. That's cool. What if I planted a tree in my garden? You'll grow stronger. You'll grow more flexible. And boy, oh boy, the fruit. You'll have an abundance of fruit to share with your family and friends and your neighbors. To enjoy being in the garden of your heart. To enjoy the daily schedule of it, the leisured work. To enjoy walking and talking and listening to Jesus in the garden. It has the potential of really being a wonderful place to be. You can even take those seeds from that fruit and sow them, sow the word in a neighbor's garden. But that means you'll need to earn trust with your friend or your family member or your neighbor for them to let you in. But once you're in there, sow. Be gracious in your sowing of God's word with your neighbor or your family, especially when you've earned their trust, because you never know what's going to stick. And the fruit is wonderful when they share it with you. God says in his word that his word will not return to him empty. But keep in mind Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. He says, the hearts of mankind do not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. But that's no matter, because that's his natural state. His heart can be changed like yours has been. It can be turned, tilled, made to be good soil by the Holy Spirit and his work, by your sharing and sowing of the seed, even if it bounces off over and over until it sticks one day. Jesus and his word, his gospel, they're powerful. They give life. They have no end. Yet God insists that the gift of his son, the gift of Jesus, the gift of his word, the gift of the gospel, it must remain a gift. And I think this really is the kernel, the hard part of today. The gospel must remain a gift. So think of what happens with gifts. Gifts can be refused, right? And the more you refuse gifts, the more that people who their love language is to give gifts, the more they're going to back off from you, right? So a gift can be refused. But a gift can be opened in excitement and then returned. Or opened in excitement and then thrown away. Or opened in excitement and then used up too quick and broken. The word Jesus, faith, it cannot be forced. Each person must stand before the judgment seat one day on their own. Yet never forget, Jesus, the word, is a gift. And the word is a gift. The seed is a gift and must be given chance to take root, to grow, to be fertilized, to be protected, to harvest fruit and make room for more. In summary and to end, today's readings are not an excuse if you have not put in the work of the sower or the gardener. Today's readings are not there to drive you to despair. They should be exciting because you're given very simple, very rewarding work to do, but also great gospel promise. If God's seed of the word has fallen on rock in your own heart, or in the heart of a child or a grandchild or a friend or a neighbor, or was sprouted but then was choked out, the parable is not saying, well, it's over then. No, that's what's fun. It's just that one time, right? Sometimes you plant seeds and like three or four of them grow, or none of them grow. Ugh. And so you just plant more. Maybe next year. Hopefully next year if you really want them. And the seed still being sown onto rock, still being sown in a thorny place, doesn't that just show God's mercy and love? That he doesn't say, ugh, I'm not throwing seed there. I'm not giving my word there. No, he gives it everywhere. Think of the hope as well, that the more that you sow the seed, that you can say on the last day that you tried, tried again, tried again, tried again. And you did that until your work was done or you were called home. And Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you only tried to sow the seed once, here's your wake-up call. You are a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a son, a daughter, a friend, a gardener. You're a sower. You're many things. Receive that word in a good and honest heart. Be patient. Watch for fruit. Keep tending the garden of your heart with Jesus. Don't be afraid if it's hard or doesn't seem like it's working at first. You might be skilled as a gardener or a newbie. But here's what's cool. Whether you're skilled or a master, the perfect gardener, Jesus, the new Adam, who died and rose again, he would love to come and help you to do the work in your garden. After all, he created it. He guards it while you're sleeping. And one day, he's going to make it brand new and perfect. No more weeds. In Jesus' name, amen.